Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, science fiction. Later on, we hear the story of the Merchant of Venus on X-1. But right now, it's Dimension X, NBC's first foray into the world of sci-fi, from April 15th, 1950, on NBC. This would be the second broadcast of the series, called With Folded Hands.
Adventures in time and space. Told in future tense. Dimension X. Have you ever heard of the Mark III? The amazing electronic brain they're using now up at Harvard University. In mere minutes, it can solve scientific problems that our most brilliant mathematicians would take years to work out. Its intelligence is almost superhuman. And yet the scientists are already working on a new and improved model, the Mark IV. In fact, they tell us there's no earthly reason why these thinking robots can't be perfected until they become the servants of the future, capable of doing all the work of mankind. Yes, that's what the advertising billboard said in the year 2006. Housework made easy by the perfect domestic servant. Modern Mechanicals Agency, Harry Underhill, president. The billboard showed a smiling family sitting with folded hands watching their mechanical robot pour their morning coffee. But in the home of Harry Underhill himself, things weren't quite as pleasant at breakfast this day.
I just can't understand it, Aurora. Look at this. Modern Mechanicals down 3 points. Yesterday, Smithson canceled his order. If I could only figure out why.
Why don't you ask him? Well, Frank didn't eat your oatmeal.
Oh, Mom.
I just don't understand it. Business was good, and then, boom. Some louse must be undercutting my prices, that's all.
How many robots were canceled?
Not robots. Mechanicals, Aurora. How many times...
They are robots, aren't they?
Please, Aurora. There's an important difference in sales psychology.
Maybe people are getting wise to your robots and mechanicals.
What do you mean, Aurora?
The perfect domestic servant. The ugly, stupid, clumsy, walking junk pile.
Aurora.
The one you brought home to me can't even wash the clothes properly. It's more trouble than it's worth.
Aurora. You know our mechanicals are the best on the market.
Those animated tin cans you sell? They're certainly not making us any fortune.
Well, with this new model, things are bound to pick up a little. That Jarvis order just comes through.
Oh, that robot of yours. There's something knocking again.
Hey, wait. Put that plate back. I haven't finished my breakfast yet. Wait!
Harry, you know you've got to say stop. Stop. You always get excited. You think you never saw a robot before.
Not robot. Mechanical.
All right. Look, it's not its fault. We just took too long to eat. Timing relay is set for 15 minutes.
Well, never mind. I want my coffee back. Set. There. Isn't that simple? Bends at the waist, stretches out its arm, and picks up the coffee pot just as if it were yours. Hey, watch out!
And spills it right in your lap!
Oh, my clean suit, Aurora! Oh, no!
Harry, you know it's relayed to announce dinner after it sets the table.
Hey, there goes my coffee again. Stop! Set!
Harry, you can't give it two orders at once.
What's that smell?
It must be a short. Now see what you've done, got it all upset.
I did. All I said was... Stop! Oh, it's no use. The brain coil shorted out.
Oh, do something. Harry, do
something. Me, I sure will. I'm going to the office. I'm getting out of here. Yes, Lucy?
Mr. Jarvis,
I'm... Oh, put him on.
Hello, Underhill.
Hello, Mr. Jarvis. I'm glad you called. I was just going to ring you. Well, I've got that whole shipment of mechanicals for you. One gross plane, a dozen of the chromium fitted.
Hold on, Underhill. I'm canceling the order.
But the invoice is made out and
I... Well, tear it up. I'm canceling.
But why?
Underhill, there's a brand new mechanical on the market that makes yours look like something out of a museum.
Oh, now, look here, Mr.
Don't
Jarvis.
Don't look me, Underhill. I've seen them, and I'm telling you it'll put you out of business. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yes, Mr. Underhill?
That's the third cancellation today. The world's going to pot.
Yes, Mr. Underhill?
No, never mind, Lucy. I'm going home. I wonder if Aurora would smell it on me if I ducked into Garrigan's. She's got a nose like a beagle. Hey, what building wasn't here last week? Humanoid Institute, the perfect mechanical. Oh, no. We didn't have enough competition. Hey, these must be the cutthroats that are underselling me.
At your service, Mr. Underhill.
Huh? Oh, you startled me. Didn't hear you. Hey, you're a mechanical, aren't you? Not bad, not bad. Very lifelike.
Won't you come in, please, and examine our service?
Yeah, that's a remarkable voice. They've licked the variable inflection problem. You know, I'm in the same line myself. Mechanicals, I mean.
We're aware of that, sir.
Oh? Hey, some building you've got here. You sure got it up in a hurry.
The Humanoid Institute at your service, Mr. Underhill.
Yes? Oh, how'd you know my name?
For us, that was not difficult.
Oh, is that so? Wait a minute. This is ridiculous, talking to a mechanical. Must be somebody inside operating you by remote control.
No, Mr. Underhill. Of course, there is Humanoid Central, which powers and controls all of us, but that is located on Wing 4.
Wing 4?
A planet in a remote part of the galaxy.
Oh yeah. Well, may I see your salesman, please?
We employ no human salesman, sir. We ourselves can accept your order for immediate humanoid service.
Oh, wait a minute. You can't expect me to buy one. I'm in the business myself.
There will be no more need for your electronic mechanicals, sir. Once you have accepted our service, you will no longer have to work. Everything will be done for you.
Everything? That's quite an offer. At that rate, you'll have trouble supplying the demand.
I think not, sir. As you can see from our storage room. Humanoids are now arriving at the rate of 5,000 per hour from Wing 4.
5,000 per hour?
We are anxious to introduce our complete service on this planet, sir, to bring happiness to everyone. May we come out to your home for a free trial demonstration?
No, I admit you're remarkable, the voice and movement, graceful even. But I'm still in business, and what's more, I wouldn't have you around the house.
I'm afraid you will have no choice. Sooner or later, it will be necessary.
Oh, is that so? Over my dead body, let me out of here.
At your service, Mr. Underhill.
That's going to be tough competition, all right. I'm going to stop in at Garrigan's, the devil with Aurora's nose.
Oh, hiya, Pop.
Hello, Frank. How was the football game?
We won. 78-3. Guess what, Pop?
You made all the touchdowns.
Nope. Mom took in a boarder.
He what? Aurora!
She said if your business was going to fall on his face, she had to do something to make some money.
Oh, she did, huh?
Harry, what's all the racket for?
You tell me. What's this about a boarder?
Shh, Harry. He's going to live in that little apartment over the garage.
Oh, no, he isn't. You know I don't want any strangers around here.
Harry, please. Shh. Look, he won't bother you. He's a nice old man.
Oh.
He just wanted a room and a place to work. He's an inventor, I think.
Oh, he is he? Did he pay in advance?
Well, he can't. You see, his royalties haven't started to come in.
Mm-hmm. Aurora, how can you be taken in by every beat-up old panhandler that gives you a sob story?
Oh, Mr. Sledge isn't like that at all. Oh, that reminds me, dear. Can you give me a tin?
A tin? What for?
Well, Mr. Sledge is ill. He needs some medicine for his heart, and I said I'd lend him the money.
Oh, Aurora, this is the limit. He goes out right now.
Now, don't be unkind, Harry. Besides, we need the rent money.
Things aren't that bad yet. He goes.
Please, shh.
What are you shushing me for?
Mr. Sledge, he's in the next room. I've invited him for dinner. Frank, dear, wipe your mouth.
Oh, Mom.
More gravy, Mr. Sledge?
No, thank you, Mrs. Underhill.
Mr. Sledge, my wife tells me you're a traveling man. Expect to move on, sir?
Harry.
I had hoped to do a little work, Mr. Underhill. You see, I've applied for basic patents here on Earth for a very important development.
Oh, a new invention, huh?
Yes. My field is rhodomagnetics.
Rhodo what?
Rhodomagnetics. It's a new force field theorem, key to the second triad of the periodic table. Rhodium, ruthenium, and palladium.
I'm afraid I'm a little rusty on my science.
It's well known in other parts of the galaxy, but I've been able to apply for basic patents here.
Worth millions, huh?
Perhaps you find it strange that the holder of such valuable property should be in need.
Well, yes.
I'm a refugee, Mr. Underhill. I arrived on this planet only a few days ago.
Mm-hmm. But you will be shoving on again.
Oh, for goodness sakes, Harry.
That's all right, Mrs. Underhill. I understand. After all, I am an intruder in your home. If it inconveniences you at all, I'll find some other place to sleep and set up my workshop.
Harry, your robot is spilling the coffee again.
I'll have to have it tightened up.
Why doesn't your company bring out a better mechanical? One smart enough not to spill things. Wouldn't that be splendid?
The perfect mechanical already exists, Mrs. Underhill. They're not so splendid, really. They are why I am a refugee today.
Oh? Where'd you say you came from?
Wing 4.
Wing 4? Oh, then you must mean those humanoids.
Humanoids?
Mr. Sledge.
Humanoids. What do you know about them?
Well, they just opened an agency here in Two Rivers.
No.
Harry.
What is it? What's wrong, Mr. Sledge?
Give him some water. It must be his heart.
Call Dr. Windus, Aurora.
No. I'll be all right.
Here, you better sit down.
I'm sorry. It was just shock.
I came here to get away from them.
The humanoids?
Yes. I wanted to finish my work before they came. But now, I won't trouble you any further.
But, Mr. Sledge, Harry, he's sick.
Well, Mr. Sledge, I don't think you'll have to go right away.
He can stay, Harry.
Sure, after all, the way those humanoids are coming along, I'm liable to become a refugee myself any minute. Guess we might as well stick together, eh, Sledge?
Oh, that's better. Oh, you look ill, Professor. Maybe you ought to lie down on the sofa and rest.
No, thank you. I must get back to my workshop now. I haven't got time to rest. So little time left for all of us.
Good morning, Mr. Underhill.
Good morning.
Mr. Underhill, you look awful.
I feel awful. What's in the mail?
6 more cancellations. The Eat Quick restaurant chain sent back your shipment. They've installed humanoids. Mr. McIntyre from the bank called. He's refusing your loan. He said since Humanoid Institute opened, you're a bad credit risk.
Good.
I guess that's all. Oh, there's somebody. Something to see you.
At your service, Mr. Underhill.
You? Oh, no, you're not the same one, are you? Serial number's different.
It doesn't matter, sir. We're all really one. Now, in exchange for our complete service, you will assign all your property to Humanoid Institute.
I will what?
With our service, you will have no need for property. Everything will be provided.
What kind of blackmail is this?
No blackmail, sir. You will find humanoids incapable of committing any crime. We exist only to increase the happiness of mankind.
Thanks, but I can take care of my own business.
You have no choice, really. With humanoid service, it is no longer necessary for men to take care of themselves. Our function is to serve and obey and guard men from harm.
Get out.
Very well, sir. When you wish to sign, let us know.
Get out. Get out! Aurora, I'm home.
At your service, Mr. Underhill.
What's the idea of this? You get out of here. Aurora!
Mrs. Underhill has accepted our free trial demonstration. We cannot leave unless she requests.
We'll see about that. Aurora, where the devil are
you? Oh, hello, Harry.
What's this mechanical doing here? What's happened to you?
Isn't it wonderful? I had my hair done, the manicure.
The
humanoid did it. And cleaned the house all over, washed all the clothes, and gave Frank his music lesson.
Now, wait a minute, Aurora. I won't have this monster in my house.
Oh, it's just a free trial, Harry. Just wait till you taste the dinner it cooked. Everything you like best. Roast duck.
I don't care if he cooked a duck.
And the most complicated pastries. I could never cook like that.
Well, might as well eat. Well, I'll need a drink first, though.
All right, Doctor.
I'm sorry, sir.
What?
We exist under the prime directive to guard men from harm. Alcoholic beverages in excess are bad for human consumption. We have taken the liberty of removing them from the house.
Now, look here.
Mr. Underhill, dinner is served.
Yes, Lucy?
They're here, Mr. Underhill.
I've been expecting them for a week. All right, Lucy.
At your service, Mr. Underhill. We have the legal papers here, the bankruptcy form, the eviction notice. We are ready now to foreclose your agency.
Okay, take it over. A lot of good it'll do you. I haven't made a sale in 2 weeks.
And now, if you will make the assignment of all your personal property, we can complete our service to you.
What if I won't sign?
That would be unfortunate. But with stubborn cases, we must sometimes resort to other methods. Eventually, Mr. Underhill, you will sign.
The darn, speaking darn...
Whoa, Frank, what's the matter? What's the trouble, son?
That old humanoid.
Oh, you're not happy? You should be. It's guaranteed.
They took away my football. They said it was too dangerous to play with it. And my roller skates and my scout knife and everything.
Did they leave you anything?
Just some stinking old plastic blocks. Soft blocks. They said I couldn't get hurt with them. Dad, I want my football back. Can't you do anything?
I don't know, son. I don't know.
Oh, Mr. Underhill.
Mind if I come in, Sledge?
No, not at all. You mind if I keep working?
Oh, go right ahead. It's good to see somebody working with his hands.
Something wrong?
My son. The humanoids took his football away. They're everywhere. They've smashed my business, taken over my house. Sledge, isn't there some way to get rid of them?
That is exactly what I am trying to do.
You? What makes you think you can do anything?
Because, you see, Mr. Underhill, I'm the unfortunate fool who started them.
You? I don't understand.
I started the humanoids. I've been running from them ever since.
You started them?
Yes, I invented them. I built the rhino-magnetic relays that operate Humanoid Central.
But why?
I wanted to bring happiness to humanity.
Happiness? That's great. My wife's been crying for 2 days, and you know why? Because she's bored, stiff. There's nothing left for her to do. They won't even let her lift a little finger.
I don't blame you for feeling bitter, Mr. Underhill. It's all my fault. I wanted them to serve and obey, guard men from harm.
No, they do that all right. They've even emptied our medicine chest. It wouldn't do for one of us happy humans to end it all with a sleeping pill.
Mr. Underhill, I've made the most terrible mistake a man can make. But I meant well, believe me.
Then why did you do it?
I thought I could rid the universe of poverty and hunger by inventing the perfect mechanical.
They're perfect, all right. Too perfect.
Yes. That's the trouble. They obey the prime directive too literally. They kill men's souls with their kindness.
Isn't there some way they can be controlled?
No. I didn't trust mankind, so I made sure that Humanoid Central could not be tampered with. Not even by myself.
Then what hope is there?
Only one. They are not creative. They can't meet new ideas.
You mean you've got one, Sledge?
Yes. They can defeat anything they know about. But I've got something new. A weapon to attack the brain of Humanoid Central.
Is that what you've been working on?
Yes. Now that they're here, there's little time left. Either we destroy them, or they will destroy us.
Okay. What has to be done?
This tuning circuit.
Hmm?
See, I need 2 busbars here.
Hmm?
Oh, can you read these diagrams?
I think so. Got my degree in electronics.
Good. If you could help on the bench work, it would save time.
I've got plenty of time now.
All right. But watch yourself. Don't let them see you come out here.
If you can take the risk, so can I.
No. As the inventor, I built a special immunity for myself into Humanoid Central. But you don't have that immunity. They're rather unpleasant methods of dealing with their enemies. They can change you, you know.
Change me? How?
Brain surgery.
What do you mean?
Never mind. Just be careful.
Mr. Underhill.
Hmm? What do you want?
You're going to meet with Mr. Sledge.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm going to collect the rent.
Mr. Underhill, you have spent the past 2 afternoons in his room. In view of your association with Mr. Sledge, we feel that our free trial must be terminated. We suggest that you accept our total service and make the assignment of your property immediately.
And if I don't?
Then, sir, we may be forced to resort to other methods.
Well, give me one more day to think it over.
Very well, sir. Tomorrow. That will be your last chance.
Who is it?
Underhill.
Did they see you?
No, not today. Sledge, we've got to hurry.
It's difficult work, Mr. Underhill, but I'm almost finished.
They gave me till today. They said they'd use other methods.
What's that?
The humanoids, building some kind of a warehouse across the road. Sledge, are you sure this thing will work?
It's a new principle, Underhill. A tuned rotomagnetic light beam. It should act to fission the heavy atoms of the basic ores and weak ore. We'll destroy Humanoid Central.
But are you sure?
I know the humanoids. I made them. They can't invent anything. They can't create defenses against something new. It's done. It's finished, Anaya.
You going to use it now?
Immediately. I'll have to feed the astronomical data into the calculating circuits. There must be zero error in focusing.
What will happen?
Wing 4 will disappear in a chain reaction. Humanoid Central will be destroyed. They'll stop. Ready now. Stand clear, please. Power's building up. Step on the proper method, Andrew. We must be shielded when I cut in the full power load.
Hurry, Sledge.
I've waited 30 years for this moment, Underhill. When Wing 4 is destroyed, the humanoids all over the galaxy will stop. They'll stop dead. You won't hear those drills.
Sledge!
All right. Now. Anything?
Sledge, listen. The drills have stopped. They've stopped. You can see them. The humanoids have stopped.
They couldn't guard against something they couldn't understand. It worked under you.
We're free now. Goodbye, Wing 4.
Humanoid Central is destroyed.
At your service, Mr. Underhill.
No, Sledge.
Get out of here. Get out.
You were attempting to break the Prime Directive. It is therefore necessary to interfere.
But you stopped. I saw you, all of you.
In order to guard against Mr. Sledge's beam, it was necessary to stop all units momentarily to concentrate power. That necessity has passed.
But it was new. You can't invent anything new.
No, sir, but we were able to adapt the screening principle you yourself invented. For the past 30 years, Humanoid Central has been screened against any energy attack.
All these years wasted. All these years?
Your immunity has ended, Mr. Sledge. It will now be necessary for you to accept our full service.
No. No, I'll stop you. I'll stop all of you.
No, Sledge.
I'll stop you with my bare hands. I'll kill you
Sledge.
All.
No, it's no use.
Do not worry, Mr. Underhill. At worst, he can destroy one unit. There are millions more.
Sledge, you'll hurt yourself. Sledge!
I'll kill him.
He's sick at his heart. You, get a doctor.
Until he surrenders, we can neither aid nor hinder Mr. Sledge. Do you surrender your immunity, Mr. Sledge?
Have to. Last chance. Gone. Yes,
Help me. Help me.
At your service, Mr. Sledge. You may see Mr. Sledge now, Mr. Underhill.
Alone?
If you wish. In here.
Thanks.
Sledge.
Well, well, Underhill. Good to see you.
Your head. It's bandaged.
Is it really?
They've done something to you. Are you all right?
Oh, fine, fine. Never felt better.
You never felt better?
No. In fact, I feel 10 years younger today.
You sound so happy.
Why not? These humanoids have made a new man of me, Underhill. They're wonderful, aren't they?
Wonderful? How can you say that, Sledge? Only yesterday you hated them. You were trying to destroy them.
Destroy them? Why?
You don't remember? You've forgotten what they're doing to us all? They're killing us with kindness, taking away all our incentive and pride of accomplishment, turning us all into pampered, useless pets, parasites, with nothing left to do but just sit with folded hands at the mercy of these mechanical monsters.
At your service, Mr. Underhill.
You.
You seem troubled, Mr. Underhill. Are you unhappy?
Unhappy? You bet I'm unhappy. What have you done to Professor Sledge to turn him into this babbling idiot?
We were forced to operate. For years, Mr. Sledge has been suffering from a benign tumor of the brain. It caused him to have hallucinations, to believe that he was actually the creator of the humanoids.
Did I?
Yes. It was these delusions which were making you unhappy.
Oh. Well, whoever did invent the humanoids, I certainly owe him a debt of gratitude now.
Sledge.
You see, Mr. Underhill, we have ways to correct these abnormal conditions. Even Mr. Sledge is happy now.
You operated on his brain?
Yes, Mr. Underhill. And now we are at your service.
At my service? You mean you're going to operate on... No.
The time has come for you to accept and enjoy our complete service. You will now sign our agreement.
Look here, I...
If you are unhappy, it only takes a simple operation.
No, no. Who said I was unhappy? I'm very happy. I'll sign your paper. You don't have to operate on me. I'm happy. I'm very, very happy. Very happy.
The happy, Mr. Underhill's futile hands clenched and relaxed again, and then folded quietly. There was nothing else left for them to do. You have just heard the Jack Williamson story, With Folded Hands, an adventure in time, space, and the unknown world of the future, the world of Dimension X. Now, about next week, do you believe that in the mind of man, there lies a force potentially more powerful than the atomic bomb? And perhaps someday, in the not-too-distant future, a man sitting quietly in his room, just thinking, may generate enough mental energy to control the destiny of the world. How? We'll tell you next week.
Tonight's story on Dimension X was adapted for radio by John Dunkel. Featured in the cast were Philip Bournef as Harry Underhill, Alexander Scorby as the humanoid, Peter Capell as Professor Sledge, and Bryna Rayburn as Aurora. Your host was Norman Rose. Tomorrow, hear Sam Spade. Now, it's Truth or Consequences on NBC.
Dimension X on Tuned to Yesterday from April 15th, 1950 on NBC, the network's first foray into sci-fi. That was the second broadcast of 50 produced for the network. and also the first collaboration with Astounding Science Fiction magazine. The story printed was written by Jack Williamson, who gave his thoughts on the genesis of the idea in Science Fiction Studies in July of 1991. When asked about With Folded Hands, he said, quote, "I wrote With Folded Hands immediately after World War II, when the shadow of the atomic bomb had just fallen over science fiction and was just beginning to haunt the imaginations of people in the U.S. The story grows out of that general feeling that some of the technological creations we had developed with the best intentions might have disastrous consequences in the long run. The notion I was consciously working on specifically came out of a fragment of a story I had worked on for a while about an astronaut in space who is accompanied by a robot obviously superior to him physically, i.e. the robot wasn't hurt by gravity, extremes of temperature, radiation, or whatever. Just looking at that fragment gave me the sense of how inferior humanity is in many ways to mechanical creations. That basic recognition was the essence of the story, and as I wrote it up in my notes, the theme was that the perfect machine would prove to be perfectly destructive." End quote. Thoughts from author Jack Williamson on his story With Folded Hands. You're listening to an hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier, and now we move on to NBC's second effort in the genre. It's X-1. From July 18, 1957, the sole contribution from author A.A. Phelps, Jr. It's the tale of the Merchant of Venus.
Countdown for blastoff. X-5, 4, 3, 2, X-1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents X-1. X-1, The Merchant of Venus.
If you've ever tried to make a 6-inch marionette play the piano using spider webs 100 feet long for the strings, you'll have some idea of the job of administering personnel problems of the Venus colony from an office on East 41st Street in New York. But that's the way it's done. All recruitment and contract work for outspace employment is handled by the UN Off-World Commission. My particular mess is the Venus Project. Mostly, the trouble comes to my phone extension. Workum here.
Workum, how long do you think we're going to stand for this?
Oh, General Carlson, how are you?
At the rate you're going, there won't be a man left on Venus or a dollar left in the budget. What kind of a personnel director are you?
Well, if you...
Don't you know this project is vital to every person on Earth?
General Carlson, just what is wrong?
30 more resignations came in from the colony on the last mail flight. 33 spineless quitters getting fat at the taxpayers.
Excuse me, General.
Listen to me, Workum. I'm getting awfully tired of the kind of recruiting you're doing.
Miss Kane, get me Dave Newsom on the other line. No, don't cut the general off. He's enjoying himself. He won't miss me.
It's this egghead inefficiency that's at the bottom of the whole thing.
Well, I'm not too sure about that, General.
Believe me, with one platoon of Rangers, I could get a colony in a sand.
Hello, Rod.
Dave, General Carlson's on the other phone yelling at my desk blotter. He says 30 more resignations came in. That right?
Actually, 23. 7 for sick leave.
Well, what's the breakdown? Mostly farmers or technicians?
Well, there were only 9 technicians left. This batch cleans them out. The rest are farmers.
What's left?
A couple of farmers, trappers, and the scientists. They seem to stick it out all right.
Different contracts. They only have a 2-year hitch and then come back to Earth if they want to. Listen, meet me down at the coffee shop. No, Carlson goes down there sometimes. The saloon over on 43rd, about 10 minutes. The saloon was decorated in old-fashioned foam and plastic furniture. It looked straight out of the antebellum 1950s. I found Dave waiting for me in a booth, and we got right down to it.
Well, listen, why don't we leave this last bunch of quitters right where they are? Then they'd have to make a go of the colony to save their scrawny necks.
Oh, I'd like to, but even General Carlson wouldn't dare. We'd never get another colonist off Earth. And our main job is to relieve population crowding on Earth. If we get tough with the colony, a man would be a fool to go.
But every one of these quitters talks like he was just sprung from Devil's Island.
This isn't getting us anywhere. I want you to shoot me up the files on this last batch of quitters. Maybe we'd better have a staff meeting on it. Get the psychology section, the preliminary interviewers who passed these men, and I'll have Jameson, too.
What do you want a historian for?
Maybe he can find us something interesting in the project record. He's used to deducing the philosophical and religious behavior of the ancient hidden of a cuneiform laundry bill. Oh, we'd better make it formal. Book him into a saloon. He spends all his time thinking up guessing games to avoid paying for his drinks. Oh, make sure about General Carlson.
I'll tell his secretary.
No, make sure he doesn't hear about it. I don't have anything against General Carlson personally. It's just that there's always been a fight over Venus Project. The military versus the rest of us soft, decadent civilians. Carlson felt the right way to settle any virgin territory was to set up a military outpost on the ground that soldiers had always been the best operators under similar circumstances. I had lunch with Dave before the conference.
You want to call the Greasy Spoon and order?
What's on the menu?
Well, Protos Burger, seaweed borscht with boiled algae balls.
Just coffee. Black coffee.
They don't have coffee. What do you think this is, the Chambord? You can have Neocaf or Syntho Tea.
And that just about sums up the problem the Earth faces. Scientific agriculture and hydroponics had gone just about as far as they could. Synthesized foods couldn't take up the slack. If the people of Earth kept on emulating the extinct rabbits, as they showed every intention of doing, we had about 30 years before we'd all be standing on each other's shoulders, chewing our fingernails for nourishment. Or rigid birth control would go into effect, with the whole attendant problem of racial tension, nationalistic wars, and bootleg conceptions. The group gathered in the conference room looked sour enough to have been dining on seaweed borscht for a week. All right. I suppose I sum up what we all know already. It'll give us time to stall before we face problems to which we have no answers.
That's a cheerful beginning.
All right. Now, for 6 years, we've been trying to establish a self-sustaining colony on Venus. Why? Take the monorail out to Bucks County or up to Vermont at rush hour. There just isn't any more room on Earth. They've just opened the Dome Colony in Antarctica, the housing areas in the Amazon Valley. And they're already piled up with a 10-year waiting list. All right, we send out colonists. What happens?
They quit.
Thank you, Mr. Jameson. The resignations come in. By terms of the contract, we have to transport them back to Earth inside of a month of resignation. There'll be nothing left on Venus but a few small clearings in the jungle and a few empty beer cans. Now, I'm not accusing anyone here of making mistakes, but I think we have to seriously consider whether we're spending money for nothing.
Rod, you said the problem was insoluble. We know what we need up there. It's just that we're still making some mistake in selection, in psychological screening. That's all. You're not going to quit, are you, Rod?
Well,
we're not. We'll get these studies out and check again. Venus Project is too important to fail, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
It's a cheap trick, but it always works. I talk with a heavy, heavy heart, and Dave jumps in to shill like a Boy Scout. It always amazes me how a bunch of PhD psychologists can get suckered into enthusiasm every time. We tried to figure out what made the settlers quit. We went into their backgrounds, their personality psych profiles. The coffee grew stale and the smoke heavy. Nothing.
Look, Rod, here's what it boils down to. A man has to be unstable to want to leave Earth, but he has to be stable to stay active and resourcefulness to make out on a new planet. But if you had it, you'd make out fine at home. You need young, healthy, vigorous, mature, older, experienced people all rolled into one. We're looking for a collection of walking paradoxes.
We tried brainstorming on Project Venus. You know, just sit around and let the ideas seep out of your unconscious.
Take kids up and bring them up on Venus under guard.
Grow colonists in test tubes and ship them out wrapped in glass.
Start trial colonies in the Congo.
Nothing. I was mulling the conference over by myself in the saloon when Jameson dropped into a chair beside me.
Hi, Rod.
Oh, hello.
Hey, I got a new game. I take three matches in my right hand and
Don't bother. I'll pay for the drinks.
Rod, you're taking the sport out of sponging.
I see nothing amusing in being a petty con man.
How about that snow job you work on the psych team every couple of weeks? You could get rich selling bogus mining stock to investigators for the SEC.
There is a difference between legitimate personnel psychology...
Sure. How about when you threatened to quit?
Well, I'm not sure I was kidding.
What would happen if you quit?
Carlson would probably send a military outpost up there. Make a clearing, build a fort, maybe a town, and then he'd try to get people to come and live in it. It won't work, though. They'll want to know why the planet had to be colonized that way. Why wouldn't the civilian colonists stay?
Rod, this may surprise you, but I agree with you. But not because of your fancy psych profiles and emotional mathematics. A free people will not willingly move into a military township. Rod, you a gambling man?
I told you, I'll pay for the drinks.
No. I mean, would you take a 50-50 chance if the colony had a chance of working out?
I guess so. That's better odds than I'd give at the moment.
All right. You're on.
Now, wait a minute. What are you talking about?
Never mind. Here, look. I take three matches in my right hand.
And that's all he said. I found out a week later what was going on when I was called on the carpet by General Carlson.
And as I understand it, this plan of Mr. Jameson's was smothered in your office because of professional jealousy. Mr. Jameson having no degree in psychology.
Is that what he told you?
Mr. Workham, I'm very busy. I have a conference with Mr. Jameson in exactly 7 minutes.
I caught him later that afternoon.
Now take it easy, Rod. That's the only way I could get Old Blood and Sarsaparilla to snap at my bait. If he thought you were sitting on an idea, he was bound to grab it.
You know he dry docked me for 6 weeks.
Go fishing. Have a good time. When you get back, I'll have my little swindle going full blast.
That is exactly what I did. I went fishing. When I came back to work, I had to fight to get into the building.
Hey, who are you pushing?
I work in here.
Yeah? Line fucker.
What do you mean?
You're going to wait your turn like the rest of us.
What's going on in there?
What, are you kidding? This is the volunteer office. Where have you been?
Volunteer for what?
The Venus colony.
Oh, no. That's a little office around on 43rd Street.
Wake up, bud. They moved out of that office last week.
You mean all these men are volunteering?
Sure. Hey, you got a bottle on you?
A bottle?
Anything. A little California seaweed juice, maybe. I ain't fuzzy.
Are you a trained farmer?
Do I look like a hayseed?
Technician. Mechanic.
Listen, Buster. That's for marks, rubes, hex. I know how to take care of myself. Let the suckers push tractors around. Are you sure you ain't got a shot?
No.
Man, I can hardly wait till I get there.
The nearest saloon?
Venus, man, Venus.
What are you going to do when you get there?
I'm going to snake me all up, climb, then let the credits roll in. Going to get me a year's supply of the best pre-war scotch, and I'm going to use it up in a week.
They don't pay that kind of wages at the colony.
Wages? That's for square giants. I'm going out for the hot stuff. You know what I mean?
Radioactives? Well, the government assays don't show enough to make it worth shipping.
That's what they want you to believe. I heard they got loads of big U's so rich, you gotta wear a lead union suit to get near them.
Don't you realize there's nothing but jungle up there? And insects and spores and fungus?
All right. I know the story. That's to keep out suckers. Take it from me, bud. Just look around. The smart money knows the truth. I'm getting in on the ground floor.
Jameson, you irresponsible idiot.
Ah, Rod, how are the fish?
I know what you're doing, and I won't put up with it. You've told those dupes down there they can get rich on Venus.
Well, they're volunteering.
And I suppose you think if you get enough of them, you'll find what you want. But have you looked at them?
Crooks, gangsters, bums, hobos, drunks, and I don't know what.
They are a little picturesque, aren't they?
Well, you've got recruits, all right. But what kind of a society are you going to start with them?
Rod, you're not being just a teeny-weeny bit snobbish, are you?
Look, this isn't a joke. I don't care who goes, as long as they meet some standards. But to make a decent place, you need decent people. Morally clean and healthy.
And to think this is a man I have seen playing stud poker.
You've got a collection of bums and alcoholics and criminals. Probably half of them are wanted by the cops. You've got to stop!
There wasn't a thing I could do. I issued a statement to the press and I got editorials attacking me for trying to keep the riches of Venus from the common man. Days passed, weeks. The training and screening compounds were jammed, and the transports lifted from Cocoa Base on a tight schedule, 100 men to a ship, not counting crew. People traveled miles to apply. They drifted in from every skid row around the world. Then the numbers decreased. Day by day, the get-rich-quick propaganda seemed to be losing its grip. About a year passed, and the lines had dwindled down to about a steady 5 men a day. I went through my routines in a kind of daze, horrified at the tale history would write about the society that was recruited through my office. Then one day, I met a man in a lunchroom. He asked me the way to the recruiting office. We got to talking. That afternoon, I found Jameson in the saloon and cornered him.
Look, I take 4 lumps of sugar in my left hand, and you try to guess which one...
Never mind.
It's just a little sporting proposition.
I've had enough sporting propositions out of you. Jamie, I just talked to a recruit.
How democratic of you.
I'm not kidding. He was an engineer who tossed up a good job to go out to the colony.
How nice.
I did a little more checking. They've changed. There are farmers with their families, school teachers, lawyers, doctors, and then 2 ex-colonists applied yesterday to go back.
Guess which hand holds...
Listen, there is on the bar a pre-war bottle of scotch at $25 an ounce. I will buy you the whole bottle for an explanation.
Oh, well, wait till I put the sugar back in the bowl.
Jamie, how did you do it? Were we so far wrong with our charts and psychomath?
Actually, you told me how to do it. Remember you said if there was a recently pioneered society around for you to test, you could set up your standards? Well, all you needed to do was duplicate the kind of person who settled America, or Australia, or California. As an historian, I knew what they were like, and I knew what brought them. So I put out the same bait.
In a pig's eye, you did. How about freedom of religion, freedom from oppression? That had something to do with settling America, didn't it? Isn't that what brought people to this country? I saw that cesspool full of tramps you started with. If there was a Tom Paine or a Ben Franklin among them, I'll eat a whole Rorschach series one ink blot at a time.
Rod, you are no historian. Franklin was born here. Paine didn't come over in the first wave. Pioneers are not necessarily young, healthy, or moral. America wasn't founded only by pilgrims. They were actually a minority. We were settled by promoters, bonded servants, British convicts, pickpockets, thieves, French and Spanish pirates. They came here for gold or to beat a hangman's rope. That's the kind of person who settles a new land. Misfits, drunkards, fugitives from justice. Too sick in mind or body to make a go of it where they are.
But what kind of society will they make out of it?
What kind did the sweepings and nougat make out of America? After a while, they stop shooting each other down in the streets and civilization catches up with them. For one thing, they get married. And it's amazing what a civilizing influence a wife is.
Won't they be a little sore? After all, you just worked the greatest hoax since...
The immigrants came to America because they heard the streets were paved with gold. Well, I'll be going along myself soon.
You?
Yep. Now that they've got a colony going up there, they'll be making history. And besides, I understand there's a wide-open gambling saloon at New Abilene on the Neo-Texas Peninsula. I'm anxious to try my luck on the wheel. I wonder if that pre-war bottle of scotch will stand the acceleration.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine. X-1 has brought you The Merchant of Venus, A story from the pages of Galaxy written by A.H. Phelps, Jr. and adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in our cast were Jackson Beck, Bernard Lenroll, Jared Reed, Joseph Julian, George Irwin, and Ted Osborne. This is Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production.
X-1 on Tuned to Yesterday from July 18th, 1957 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of sci-fi on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVernier. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.